Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the No Bullshit Guide to Life with me, your host, Bangs and a Bun, in London.
And me, your other host, Lamara, in New York.
What's up, people? What's happening? What's going down? What's going up? What's happening? What's going round? And all those other things.
What's up, down, around? How's your past 6 days been? I hope you're celebrating Sunday nice. Wah, guan, and ends, basically.
Yeah, that's...
How are you, Bangs?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a year older.
Oh, yeah! Shame! Oi! Yeah, pop off.
That's right,
yeah,
that's right.
I love the way you casually dip that in there. Like, yeah. Acknowledge me, it's my birthday. Yeah. Happy belated
Give me all the praise, please.
Now, where we last left this, it was luxurious gifts, something to do with a trip away, and man like Idris. Did anybody come through in all those three accounts?
Yeah, no, I asked for cold hard cash, a luxury holiday, or Idris Elba, and I received none of those things. So what I learned is that I need new friends. I'm recruiting now, if anyone's interested, send me a CV and we'll talk, because clearly my friends can't come through with shit.
The ones you have are not there for you.
I mean, I gave you a list of three things. It wasn't
three
hard.
Really easy,
you know,
obtainable,
I mean?
Things.
You know what I mean?
And the thing is, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Someone out there knows Idris. Someone out there is denying you your life's joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me.
No, I assumed it wasn't you, but... Yeah, but no, in all seriousness, I had a really nice birthday. I'm still friends with all of my friends. I forgive them for, you know, because I honestly don't make a big deal on my birthday, and I don't, like, expect people to buy me gifts and all that kind of thing. But I did get some actions. People did buy me gifts, which was really surprising to me, and really sweet and lovely. And so I did have, you know, it was a low-key birthday. Like I said, I'm not the type who's going to be like, celebrate me, shower me with praise and gifts. It's just not who I am. But the fact that people did actually do that, despite the fact that I'm not asking for it, was very, very sweet. And I'm very touched by that.
Yeah, that is sweet.
So I had a nice day where I felt really special, which was very nice.
Raises imaginary toast in the air to you. Here's to another year, Bangs.
Thank you. I feel as though we could have got a quote from Drake in there somehow. And
what one would have you gone for?
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking of it, I feel like there was one that was really relevant, and now I can't think of it. But I just
think, like, for my all of my birthdays, I go by the great long head rapper 2 Chainz. All I want for my birthday is
It's a big booty hoe. All day,
every day, continually, every year. You know, that's not a small feat to ask for. So that's the rap lyric.
I mean, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but I also did not receive any big booty hoes. But what is going on? Maybe next year. We'll hang in there.
Next year. Next year, birthday goals. All right, that's, you know.
How was your week? What did you get up to?
Maine. So New York is changing. In a very good way. We are having some good bouts of spring weather, which is making the city open up more, making everyone feel a bit more positive. So, like, I've been observing that mainly, because you step out of the house, you're like, oh my God, I don't need my Uniqlo triple goose feather duck down. Put that back in the house. So I've been enjoying the weather this week, like taking the long route to work, walk when I'm working. Sorry, taking the long walk.
Okay, I think we should probably give the disclaimer. Lamara's drunk, basically. We should just say that right here, right now. Lamara went out last night. She got up like 2 minutes ago.
What had happened was, like, if you lot think we record this and we practice, throw that notion out the window. I don't drink, but what I did do was stay up really late because my highlight of my week was seeing my favourite band called Young Fathers, who are a three-man Scottish trio, the Lamara, three-man Scottish trio. Can you tell I'm tired? And they were playing at Music Hall of Williamsburg last night, and it was an amazing show as ever. If you want to feel energy and feel moved and kind of like break yourself out of a very traditional genre of music and just go for a feeling, go to a Young Fathers concert. There's nothing actually like it. I flipping love those guys and their music. So yeah, Two Twos ended up hanging out with the band after to the early hours of the morning and dabbing and debating Kendrick Lamar's latest piece of work with one of the members. So that brought me into my house at 3 o'clock in the morning. Then I texted Bangs at about eight being like, man really needs to wake up. This is not happening. And now I'm talking to you guys, slurring all my words, saying very obvious and unobvious statements. I'm sitting on my bedroom floor by the door because we can get really decent signal. So it's all a shambles. But here it is, guys. This is it. This is the honesty. No holes barred, whatever, innit? Like, it's all good. It's all still good.
We're holding it together over here. We're holding it together.
We try. Shit, man. Yeah. Life ain't perfect. Anyway, so I'm good. Let's just say I'm good.
All right.
Cool. Let's get into it, though.
Let's. Do you want to call bullshit on something? Who's going first? Me? You?
You.
Me?
Birthday week privileges. Go.
Okay. So I actually really had to think about this because I did genuinely have a really good week and that was really positive. So it's quite hard for me to think about bullshit. However, then yesterday happened. And I was like, oh, there's some bullshit right here. So yesterday in London, beautiful day, stunning. First proper kind of spring day, right? And I was walking through Hyde Park, just full of the joys of spring. I was, walking Stringabell, my dog. I was in there for about an hour, just kind of loving life and, you know, taking note of the flowers. And there were families out who were playing frisbee and there were couples who were having picnics and like groups of friends and loads of runners. And, you know, when you're really having a moment where you're like, oh, I love this city and I just, and life is great and sunshine and yay. And then as I'm walking, I hear someone complaining about how hot it is. And I'm like, see, the thing with British people, because like, but why you always got to complain? Why must you always continue? Like, it was the first proper day of spring, you know what I mean? Right. And when that person said that, this person was like, oh, it's too hot for me, you know, it's too hot for me.
Stay in your house, bruv.
Do you know what I mean?
Stay in your house.
I got my phone out at that moment and checked my weather app to be like, I don't know if I'm cold-blooded, but this feels quite nice to me. So I looked at my weather app. It was 16 degrees Celsius, a classic spring day. Do you know what I mean? That's not excessively hot. Like, what are you talking about? I understand we all have different body temperatures, what have you, what have you. Like, everybody feels shit differently. But can't you just, even if it was a little too hot for you, can't you just look around and be like, oh, look, everybody's really happy. The whole city's coming out. Like, it's a beautiful day. London looks beautiful. Like, find something else to focus on. But I swear to God, British people and the weather, just, it is a thing
never happy.
That
never happy.
Gripes me more than you could ever imagine. Like, it was a beautiful day. Like, just take that and have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't. It really killed that moment for me. But I was like, I'm not even going to let you generate my force field of like, you
energy
know,
spreaders. Bad yeah, vibes, you know what I mean.
You can't.
Vibes.
I'm not letting that infiltrate my force field of not giving a fuck. Because just no to you. Just look before you open your mouth on some bullshit about the weather. Just enjoy the day for what it is, please, British people. I beg of you. Anyway, so that's what I'm calling bullshit on this week. People just
and quite rightly so. Co-sign.
It's really petty, but it's just one of those things that just irritates me.
No, I get it. Mine's closely related to that.
Okay.
So, you know, it's you mentioned a temperature, a moderate 16 degrees, you know.
Okay, can I just stop you quickly? Another disclaimer. Obviously, yeah. Lamara and I use Skype to hold these conversations via the podcast. And let's just say Skype is on some fuck shit today. If you hear some crackling
massive,
or whatever.
Massive apologies, people.
Yeah, let's deal with that. So anyway, call bullshit. Go do it.
I call bullshit on Skype, but no, not really. Well, no, it's true. Like, on a tangent, their technology is, like, at least 10 years behind. Like, the things still don't work. They always ask me to rate my call. It's dead. That's how I rate my call.
Is dead.
Every interaction.
Call dropped.
Call is dead.
Call dropped an hour ago.
Back to what I call bullshit on. So, you know, it's a moderate 16 degrees in London. It's the first day of spring. It's quite warm, possibly a bit hot. But I call bullshit on all those people that think it's 32 degrees. We've suddenly London has turned into like little Lagos or Jamaica.
Oh yeah, please calm down.
Walking around in shorts, t-shirt, and flip flops.
Please calm
what
down.
What the ras?
I hate
like,
that.
I hate that with passion. It is never not that hot, fam.
Yeah, exactly.
I call shit on those people. Yeah. Like I get it. Like don't complain about it being hot. Like enjoy something, but still know you're in London. Have your umbrella and your jacket ready. Like it's not that hot yet. It's not summer.
It's not summer. People tend to forget that spring is a season. You know what I mean? Wow. Like spring happens before summer.
And you know, my body temperature is different to everyone else's. I get that. So I will still be in like a long overcoat, like black pants, you know, maybe some Uniqlo woolly socks on. And there's people straight up with the flip-flops and tank top. Batty Riders in April.
I've seen it. I'm not even joking. I've seen it.
The worst is when it's like a bra with his top off. I'm like, why are you gassing yourself?
It's not that hot. It's really
hot. So I call bullshit on those people because you know it's not hot. You know it's not that hot.
I know, so, right? Yeah.
That's
a good
all
one.
About the work.
It's a good one because it's so unnecessary.
But let's flip this around. What do you call good shit on?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that we do this section now. Good things. Oh, I'm glad that we do because I was really about to get all up in my feelings about the weather and just let that irritate me. So the thing I call good shit on this week is really silly. But have you seen that clip of Jennifer Lopez on James Corden's carpool thing? Okay, first of all, Jennifer Lopez, eternal girl crush forever and all time. Just
gorgeous.
So she Neo, is the definition
the slayer,
of slay. Oh my God. She's just entirely too beautiful. I freaking love her. And if you want to go ahead and pretend like you didn't want to be J-Lo in circa 01, you can go ahead and do that. But I will call you a damn liar because you know you owned a Juicy Couture tracksuit. You know you were shacking out to the Love Don't Cost a Thing video. And you know you wanted to find any random black dude to be your Ja Rule sidekick. Stop lying to yourself. So anyway, I love me some
facts
J-Lo.
Only.
Facts only, right? So I love me some J-Lo. So anyway, she did that carpool karaoke thing with James Corden. And I feel really bad because I don't actually watch his show, but I will always tune into those on YouTube. But support him. He's doing great things. Brit Abroad, doing your thing. Love that. So anyway, J-Lo's carpool karaoke, obviously just slayage from start to finish. She's just adorable, everything about her. But the funniest part of it was... Corden's asking her like, oh, who's the most famous person you've got in your phone? Like, let's go through your phone. Obviously, she's got like mad famous people in there. So she's got Leonardo DiCaprio in her phone. And he's like, let's text Leonardo DiCaprio. So she's mortified the whole time. She's like, no, please don't do this. Don't send him this text. So James Corden grabs her phone, sends her a text.
Wait. Are them man texting and driving?
Yeah. They don't give no fucks. Yeah. So he's texting Leonardo DiCaprio. And I think he's like, hey baby, I'm looking to cut loose tonight. Or so he's like sending a really corny text, looking to cut loose tonight, like what's going on or whatever. So then they send that. J-Lo's obviously, she's just mortified, like, I can't believe you sent that. And then about 5 minutes later in this thing, they get a text back from Leonardo DiCaprio, I swear to God, this text has made my whole life and made me view DiCaprio in a whole new light. his response was, "You mean tonight, boo boo, club wise?"
Shut up.
The fact that Leonardo DiCaprio refers to people as
boo-boo
has made my whole entire life. You don't even understand.
What type of gangster is he that I don't know about? Like, what up, boo-boo?
Do you understand how that's going to be the response to any question that anybody asks me at this point? You can say, like, Bangs, what are you up to today? What you mean tonight, boo-boo, club-wise? That's going to be my response, standardly, to any questions that are asked to me. So I love that. That was my good shit.
Funny though, but if it's not club wise, what otherwise were they looking to cut to? Anyway,
that's, I would not be mad at that.
I remember watching the Mariah one. Mariah is just a boss.
She's a, so yeah.
I'll check that out. Yeah. I'll check that out.
Watch it. It's funny. So what do you call good shit on?
This week I'm calling good shit on people speaking their truths, having the power and the energy to be truly honest and say and write what they feel. And this is massively in reference to a couple great friends of mine. Shout out to Tamika. And also man like Natty, aka Nathaniel Cole.
Nathaniel.
Yeah, who just one of the greatest humans on this earth that if you know him, you have the pleasure and sheer joy of knowing. And, you know, like, this week, Natty in particular, started writing on Medium. Pretty much with, as being as brutally honest as he can and be like, I'm tired of fucking surviving, you know? I'm tired of, like, the days I have when I don't feel my best, where I feel like I'm shrinking, where I feel like I'm not doing enough or not doing too much and life is really precarious. And to counteract that, my mate Tamika wrote on Medium as well, like, living in London is purely a survival game now, like, and if you're not enjoying it, you're not enjoying life. Like, there's a lot I think going on, which has probably always been going on with my friends, my peer group, and call it even the generation, where there's a great, like, discontentment or big sigh of like, what the fuck is life, you know? And how is it becoming so crushing at many angles that we literally feel like we're just fighting to survive, fighting to go through our day to day? And their articles on Medium, search Nathaniel Cole, Tamika Abaka Wood, and I call good, amazing, brilliant shit on that, because I often feel, you know, people suffer in silence. So having the power and honesty to, you know, tell the truth, shame the devil, or just say, look, this is what I'm feeling in the most honest way possible, I love. And both of their articles really resonated with me. Natty's on an incredible journey, incredible writing journey and journey of self, which people should be reading, of just going through what those emotions are like and dealing with your anxieties or maybe your introvertedness or maybe how you're grappling with the city or maybe how you're trying to find yourself. So I call good shit on that because we need more of that. You know, last week we were talking about the power of conversation and we were talking about having those very difficult conversations in open spaces. We talk to each other, myself and Bangs, on the regular. Like, I'm in touch with all my friends who come like fam, like, as much as I can be now living here. And it's just promoting those conversations and really being honest in how you feel. If you're having a shit day, you're having a shit day. Like, and then trust your friend to listen and let's talk about it. Let's go through this. But I call incredible good shit on the power it takes to be that honest. And I think that's just really incredible to me. So shout out to that. And shout out to them. And for everyone who feels like they're simply surviving, it's worthy. That's me.
Amazing. So you went a slightly more intellectual route with your good shit than I did. Okay,
sometimes you have to turn up on them. Sometimes. But cool. Yeah, let's dive in. What are we talking about this week, fam?
We're talking about feminism and how it's just not so typical anymore.
The F word.
The big F word. So, yeah, I think it just seems as though it's quite topical at the moment because there are there's just a real changing face of feminism at the moment. So I thought it'd be kind of a good thing for us to dive into.
Should we say how we got to this topic?
So how we got to this topic and
what had happened was.
Okay, couple of things, I guess. But the thing that I sent you initially was, and listeners, apologies in advance if you are not really involved in hip hop culture in any kind of way, and if you don't pay attention to the absolute mess of a show that is Love and Hip Hop New York. So perhaps if you don't ever watch that show, this may not make sense to you, but hopefully it kind of resonates in a way. There's a show called Love and Hip Hop New York, which consists of kind of ex-rappers, wannabe rappers, people who are kind of within the New York scene. And it just kind of documents their lives. And there's a woman on that show called Cardi B, who is basically a stripper.
A regular schmegular girl from the Bronx.
As she refers to herself, a regular schmegular girl from the Bronx. I think she's Dominican. She's a stripper. She's from the Bronx. You know, she has a certain vernacular that has been very debated online. And she's like super down to earth. She's a very big character. And I guess she's kind of Instagram famous. She's one of these people who's like Instagram famous. She's a stripper who's kind of wanted to become a rapper as well. So that the whole her whole thing on Love and Hip Hop New York has been documenting that journey, or her attempt to get on that journey. So anyway, another character on this show is called Peter Guns, who he's not a character. He's an actual real person, although it could be argued that he is a bit of a character. And if you are familiar with any kind of 90s hip hop, him and Lord Tariq did a song called Uptown. Uptown, baby. Who gets down, no. baby? So cool.
Not in my iTunes.
Okay, that's fine. It was a tune, though. I'm not sure if he had any others, just that one. Okay. So anyway, apparently since then, he's just been creating children, just a lot of them. He's just been having a whole gang of kids with a lot of different women's. And he's just a hot mess. Just everything about his life is just a mess, right? So the way that this show started out, he's been with this woman, Tara, for like 8 years, had two kids with her. Then he got with this side chick called Amina, got her pregnant. And she had a baby, and then he got her pregnant again, but he got Tara pregnant at the same time. It's a ridiculous mess of a situation. So anyway, Love and Hip Hop series finishes and they have the reunion show. And the reason we started talking about feminism was because of a moment that happened on this reunion show. Man, that took me a long time to get to this point. I'm sorry.
No, context is good. Context is good.
Okay, so
we'll come through it.
On this reunion show, I guess Cardi B, one of her things is if she's going to mess with a dude, she wants to be getting something out of it. So, you know, you're going to pay some of my bills or, you know, whatever. So Peter Guns pipes up during this conversation and is like, well, you know, I kind of feel like basically that's hoeing. Like if you're asking for money, that's hoeing. And she's like, first of all, that's bullshit because as a guy, you feel no way about asking me to have sex with you and you think it's all right that I don't get anything in return. Like, what am I going to get for that? If I give up the goodies to you, I'm just getting nothing. But then if I do ask for something, then I'm a whore. But you feel no way about asking for what you want. And it kind of just, if you want to say escalated or just completely like went down this spiral, but Cardi B had a real moment in that episode where she totally just stood up to Peter Guns, who was kind of trying to call her out and then said she was really rude. And she said, she basically called him out on all his bullshit. Like, who are you to judge me? Like, you've got these two women pregnant and you've fucked their lives up. Like, what have you done for these women? You have fucked their lives up. You've got them on TV looking stupid. Like, And what are you actually doing for them? But yet you're calling me a whore and trying to judge me and my life. And yeah, she really went off on one, and she read him for absolute filth and had a real moment. And basically the next day, the whole internet was giving her a standing ovation, pretty much, because...
Massively.
I think, and the thing everybody was saying was like, Cardi B is a feminist icon. Like, she does not come packaged the way you would expect traditional feminism to come. But she stood up for herself on that show. She shamed that guy for trying to slut shame her and call her out in the way that she lives her life. And she really did make some excellent points about the double standard between the way men are allowed to express themselves and their sexuality and women are. And yeah, I think that the debates that were happening around that the following day on the internet were really interesting and really great. But I think what was really excellent about the whole thing was just that actually people were really kind of holding Cardi B up she's a type of woman who people love to put down and try and shame, especially because of her background.
Exactly. And this is our thing about not so typical feminism. Like, you know, the time we're in now, like, your icons aren't who you thought your icons were. Mm. And there's nothing which can, there's no one look for this, there's no one type for this, there's no one stance. But if you can tap into, like, what empowerment and equality is, sorry, like, knowing your own sexual rights and freedom and being, you know, that girl in the corner for the rest of women globally, like, that's now a little bit of a marker of what feminism looks like. So you're right, it's not exactly the atypical background, or it's not the person you think could be coming and standing at the forefront, like, repping for all of these women. And that's why we're saying it's not so typical feminist, because that icon, that image, that whatever you have associated with it is out the fucking window. And that, to me, is really, really, really refreshing. It's not what it's typically looked like. There's a lot behind a lot of people which bring them to the forefront to be great advocates, to be great believers on what women's worth is and women's rights are now, that are stepping up and speaking and just appealing to everyone and finding it in the most, you know, quote unquote, obscure of places. I don't watch the show. I'm quite partial, though, to, like, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta or whatever, which one of those, you know, I dabble in it. But yeah, I remember you saying to me, like, have you seen this, Lamara? Like, just listen to what she's saying. And then seeing, you know, BuzzFeed think pieces pop up with, like, 20 times Cardi B was our feminist icon. Seeing her album cover, which is yas, all of that. Like, it's not an image we've had to confront before. In a way which makes it new and appealing and very, very relevant. And I think in my understanding of feminism, from what it was to what it is now, I very much go along the route of Roxane Gay, bad feminism, right? So it's this fact that I can be split internally and externally, and that I can love all the ratchet hip-hop trap music there is, but still demand equal pay and rights and know my opinion on sexual freedom and whatnot, or other areas where feminism is very relevant. And it's just this duality that I think we're now in, which is really beautiful to see, understanding the multifacetedness of women, understanding, again, I keep repeating this, not so typical image, because I think once we break that down on a much larger level, you see it occurring in pockets. But it's this brilliant duality that's just occurring in what you're seeing and all these people who are coming forward and just understanding the global spectrum of rights. It's not, your feminism is not your 1950s to 60s, very white-looking, a studious female anymore. And I know that is a history of, like, charting what womanism is and what maybe feminism means to people of color a bit differently, and understand intersectionality and all of these things. It's just a brilliant, brilliant building blocks as to where we are now, to just understand this massive spectrum of it, and not understanding it as being a very typical monolithic presence, but occurring in very different spaces with very different voices. And I'm all here for it.
I think it's like my main thing is that it doesn't have to be over intellectualized at any kind of point, you know. No, the great thing about Cardi B is that, especially in that particular moment that we're talking about on the show, she stood up for herself. She said so much about women and women's rights and our sexuality and the way that we're treated in a way that is going to be relatable to her demographic, to a generation of young women who are not necessarily going to pick up a Germaine Greer book and understand all the intellectual theory behind all of that. And I think the message of Cardi B taking that moment to just stand and be like, listen, no, bitch, here's what the deal is. It kind of says a lot to young women who might be in a situation where there are dudes in their neighborhood or in their school or whatever who are trying to call the same kind of bullshit on them. And it kind of empowers them then to be able to speak that in some kind of way that's relatable to them. You know what I mean?
There's a great a point which you raised of the language of it, you know. And I've often felt like many discussions which fall into this area have a tendency at times to be over intellectualized. Like, I got my great main grasp of feminism before you know it, like growing up, and you know, my parents telling me, you know, as a girl, you got to work twice as hard, or like, you got to do this, Lamara, like, have strength, like, have faith, like, work hard, be stronger than a lot of other people, right? So there's the home empowerment, for which different ways you get that. Then going into university and learning at an academic level. I'll use a reference here. Like, I studied a lot about gender performativity, right? And just how this, the combination of masculinity and femininity or women's bodies. And there's a great author, her name's Judith Butler. But reading her shit is like intellectual barbed wire that makes it so unrelatable. And just having to dig and having to mine. And I get it if it's on that level, like you're saying, like if it exists on that level and you get it, dope. But the way language is changing, like, it's not until now I can then go and read something like about Cardi B or about other women in particularly the hip hop industry are really standing up actually and announcing feminism in a great, great way through the line of work they do and just the position that they have. But it's that thing about language which has shifted, which makes it more relatable. So I don't have to be like, and this is the concept, even though I personally love that shit. But like, how am I telling it back to an audience? How are you? How am I then going to tell that to like my sister or my peers?
And how is it relatable to like everyday life?
An audience of people. Exactly. So that's where the language comes in. As a really integral point to just breaking down those fucking barriers and making it understandable for all. Like, her clapbacks were so relevant. Yeah. And again, it's the not so typical. It's not what you think it looks like. It's not what you think it sounds like. But all the gems that she was hitting, you're like, yes, feminist icon. Yes, absolutely. I understand what you're talking about. That's exactly the stance you need to be taking to... Yeah. A, deal with really irrelevant fuckboys, but also knowing your worth, right? Which is what she seems to be talking about a lot. And I just recognize it and appreciate it for that. And I think also, like, I learn a lot through yourself, you know, like referring as you do to women as badass women, like, and owning that title and not shrinking from the fact that we do really fucking amazing things, and just bolstering ourselves to a point that what encompasses that being a badass is, for me as well, is having agency. And I think that's what Cardi B and a lot of other women show, is we have agency. We're not inert. We're very active in whatever modes of struggle we have. We're very active in the scenes that we are in, and we have a voice to speak up and back at people at times.
Most importantly, we can define who we are and how we are. Like, thank you, men's. We don't need you to do that for us. We are allowed to define exactly who we are. And this is where I give Cardi B massive props. She owns every part of her story. There is no shame in her game. And she can stand there and be like, yeah, I'm a stripper. And what? And what? Yeah, I expect you to give me some money if you want to sleep with me. And what? You know what I mean? Like, this is her life. It's her story. She's owning it. Agree with it or disagree with it. she's using her agency to speak it, and I think that's really important. Yeah, I just salute her.
No, massively. And it's made me think a lot of just having a little sister. Shout out to her. She's 12 next week. Oh my God, she's 12. But I reference her, just having someone who I have to kind of like, shit, how am I going to teach her about these things and kind of instill in her at a younger age, because the world is changing so rapidly and so fast and these things are relevant, and knowing where she's drawing her pop cultural icons from, like, that's just sense of empowerment and worth and agency. And it reminds me of a conversation I had with a mate last week who teaches, she's a counsellor in school, and she teaches a lot about sexual health amongst young girls. And we were just saying, you know, the dynamics of the conversations that young girls are going through these days, like how to dictate and own your worth and make sure, you know, you're not being taken advantage of. And these conversations happen at a much younger age, you know, like being probably I'm 27 now, so in the last three and a bit years, started to really formulate what this concept of feminism is and how it relates to me and my life as being quite active and trying to empower myself. But for the younger generation, just instilling in them a sense of worth and agency, and the fact that you do have a voice, right? And it's okay to say what you want and what you don't want, so you don't end up in a dynamic which doesn't benefit you, or where you feel like you never had the tools to be able to communicate something that irked you, or something that just didn't feel right. And you know, I'm you know, dipping and stretching through these links here, but just to say there's something about being active as apart from inert, and having that voice and that empowerment and having these tools much younger, that are really, really carrying a lot of young girls and women through, which I think is massively important, because it's coming at different angles, you know. And I think, like, younger geographically, you know, whoever it's going to encompass, it's this not so typical voice that I think a lot of people are having to wake up and listen to. You know, last week we talked a lot about experience and having your experience and being able to tell that. And I think that's another level of which the different voices of what feminism is today, it is really coming through. And it's fucking refreshing to hear, if any of that made sense. Just trying to make that link of understanding, you know, like, from young women to young girls to elder women, like, it's the tables have changed, and it's bringing everyone into this conversation that it may not be what you think it looks like or sounds like, but we can all relate to these key tenets or points, right?
Well, I think what is interesting is about, I want to say, like, a year and a half ago, there was a bit of a movement online. There was literally a hashtag that was like, I don't need feminism. Which I don't know if you would have seen it, or if any listeners would have seen it, but I remember at the time just kind of reading through that and being like, huh? Like, what? You okay, you don't? Do you like voting? Because you would not have that if we didn't have feminism. Like, do you like getting equal pay for equal work? Oh, because we don't have that yet. And we kind of, like, and all of the reasons, if you go through the hashtag at the time, I don't know if it still exists. I'm just sure these women do still exist, though, who don't apparently need feminism, which when you go through it, it's a really selfish point of view, the way I view it, because the viewpoint seems to be, well, you know, I don't know where you're living, but, you know, I'm allowed to get an education, an equal education. I can get a job where I get equal pay. You know, I have all these rights. Yeah, I can vote, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, cool. But that's really selfish. There's a shit ton of women all around the world who don't have those rights and those opportunities the same as we do. And also, you're absolutely freaking kidding yourself if you think that, you know, we were born with that and that we haven't had to fight for that. And it's really freaking insulting, you know, like, my grandmother lived through a time where she could not vote. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's like, I see young women saying, oh, I don't need it. And one of the things that, just reading through, I kind of had a brief scan through some of it today, just in preparation for this. And one of the things said, you know, I don't need feminism because I'm aware of the ramifications of the systematic oppression of men. Like oh, as if the feminist movement has, yeah, do you know what, that's
kind has taken away their rights.
That's like the whole reverse racism argument that I just can't deal with. But yeah, that kind of thing. I think there are young women who really shy away from using the word feminist. And I think Aziz Ansari, the comedian, has a really great bit about this, where he's kind of like, he calls himself a feminist. And he's like, all a feminist is wanting equal rights. And I can't remember what the actual quote is, and I'm sure it's much better than whatever I'm about to say, but his actual point was, you know, you can't go, like a brain surgeon, you can't say to a brain surgeon, oh, so you're a brain surgeon. Yeah, yeah, but I don't like to refer to myself as that because, no, you know, it's a little bit too harsh of a term.
Yeah.
But do you fix brains though? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, whatever you want to call it, like, surely you want equality. Like, stop kind of backing away from it. And one thing really, you know what I mean? And one thing, like, recently, Gloria Steinem, who I freaking love, and I'm really disappointed that she did this, but she was kind of talking about the upcoming elections in the States, mm-hmm. and a fucking legendary feminist and a great woman. And I'm so disappointed in her for saying this. But she kind of said, you know, basically any young woman who's not supporting Hillary Clinton isn't a feminist, and young women are only supporting Bernie because that's what the boys are doing, which is, yeah, absolute bullshit, first of all, and really disrespectful to imply that young women can't make their own decisions and that they're just following dick to whichever particular political candidate they feel represents them. That's really insulting. However, I do kind of feel like this generation of young women who don't like to embrace the word feminism, and this is probably controversial, but I do think that part of that is caught up in not wanting to seem scary to men, kind of, which, and I kind of hate that I'm even saying that, but I don't think that's the whole story. But I think if those women are super honest with themselves, I think that's part of that, that they don't want to be considered too harsh, too abrasive, too opinionated, too woman to some men. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to.
That's interesting.
Because I don't understand why you would not refer to yourself as a feminist. I just, like, really? You're not. You're a woman, but you're not a feminist. That makes no sense to me.
Well, it's one of those words, then, isn't it? It's like, it's still got the connotation of being dirty, bad, not right, like, too abrasive.
Yeah. Like, we're not all burning bras anymore, bruv. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the movement has progressed. And, you know, as Aziz Ansari says, all it means is that you want equality. You expect equality for both sexes. Obviously there's a lot more caught up in the movement and why we as women may self-identify as feminists. There's a lot more caught up in that for us. But I do feel like it does really knock me off to hear women say, yeah, I don't like to call, I do believe in equal rights, but I don't like to call myself a feminist. Why? Why? Please explain that to me. I don't understand it. It's nothing to be scared of. And you don't like the way that feminism has been.
To say that means it's not relevant and it doesn't matter. And I just think it creates such a split between women, which is not really necessary and not what I'm here for. Like, no. I quite honestly, you know, and if you're on a platform and you say that, like, Jesus Christ, throw us all under the bus. Why don't you? Because I think that to me kind of harps on to the argument of we're post feminism,
we're post
racial, apparently, you know, we're post gender, apparently, where all these things are like only relevant to the past us, and they're not relevant in the future us, which is bullshit, because statistics actually don't lie and women's experiences don't lie. Exactly. So when someone's saying I'm this word and you're telling me you're not, bruv, fall back. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and also, I mean, hello, you can use the word feminism and refer to yourself as a feminist and define that on your own terms.
And that, and that's exactly like, that's exactly what we're saying in reference to Cardi B. Like, it's not so typical, it's not a definition anymore. What does it mean to you?
Exactly.
Like, real talk. Exactly. If you're a feminist but you want to say I'm red, pink, black and blue, like, just, you know, throwing random colors out there for you people, but it's feminism blank is to me, like, that could totally be your own term for which you
completely
find relevant to you.
Yeah.
Put the fucking dictionary down.
Yeah.
We're not there anymore.
Classic example for me is Jezebel, feminist website. I read it regularly. But there are times when I read Jezebel and think, fam, you are reaching. Like, you're saying this is super sexist. I think you are reaching. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't agree
and
with every point that they make. And
exactly.
That's okay. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I think, again, it's this one type fits all. Like,
yeah.
You must be a feminist. Tick, 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 tick. But then, like, we need to understand how many people fall out of that structure of being what typical feminism is and may not identify with that. Like, and not always, like, being the aggressor for every issue. Like, yeah,
yeah.
I read some Jezebel articles sometimes. I'm like, and that's not my part of which I identify.
Absolutely.
And that's
yeah.
okay. We're not taking a poll, nor a treaty. Are we voting on what this is?
No, exactly. Never would I read Jezebel and be like, oh, I don't agree with that, so I must not be a feminist. You know what
no,
I mean? Like,
no, but it's how
I define it on my own terms.
Day to fucking day, like, and what appeals and applies to my life. Like, when you were mentioning Aziz Ansari, and like, I've been trying to find this quote, swear down, someone at me if you can find it. I'm reminded of the role not only women play in this, but you referenced on men as well, right? Mm. And if we're basically just talking about equality at the heart of it, and it being two sides to the same coin. The quote I'm trying to find, guys, is, I'm going to butcher it, but here we go. Is it, behind every great man is a hardworking or frustrated feminist? I heard it in another round with Anil Dash. Who's
oh,
like,
oh, yeah.
And I've seen it on the Twitter sphere, and I cannot find it. But just the work women do to, like, whether you want to call it an ally, or the work women do to educate men in this struggle for equality should never go unnoticed, and everyone has to play their part. I'm reminded of, like, Anil Dash and that amazing interview, like, who's just bigging up his wife. She's dope, what she's taught him about how we need to stand together and equality and what, like, women in the workplace is and all that stuff. Lin-Manuel Miranda, the other day, was bigging up his wife. Just like, my mother's taught me what a feminist is. You know, the women in my family have held shit down and just showed me, like, what hard work and tenacity is and how we need to be. I need to be an equal voice in that struggle too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all for women to broadcast or protest about. Like, it needs more.
Mm.
You know, it's the two of us, you know, and however you want to identify and bring into this struggle, like, it shouldn't just be our work, you know? And I feel like it's been women's work for a long, long, long fucking time. But now it needs more voices at the table. Because we all have a role to play here, you know? No matter how you define it, like, speak up for me, like, you
Shout
know.
Out to Justin Trudeau, Canadian Prime Minister, who will happily refer to himself as a feminist, and, you know, he's been asked about it in press conferences and he's like, I don't give a fuck if it makes you uncomfortable. I'm going to keep saying I'm a feminist until it raises no eyebrows. Like, all of us should be referring to ourselves as that. So shout out to him. Also, just shout out to Canadians.
Yeah. And it's one of those things as well.
Rep your set.
It's one of those things, you know, like, my dad would identify as one as well, like, because the teachings through which my grandmother has taught him, you know, and showed him what it's like to be a powerful woman. Like, if you, at the very base level, like, if you don't rep for your sisters or your mums or your aunties, like, what the rass?
Exactly.
Like,
Shout out to my brother, who will readily refer to himself as a feminist as well, and who is constantly trying to educate himself so that he understands intersectionality. He understands, like, any struggle that I may go through as a woman. Shout out to men who do that, but particularly my brother, because you know, we have these kind of conversations, and it's really, it's both heartwarming and really important to me to feel as though my actual brother is on my side, and he gets that it isn't always as easy for me, and he understands that going through life the way he goes through life is perhaps easier for him.
Yeah, and then we get into like the fucking privileges that some have over others, and it's just, I just want to say, they're like, are you listening, bro? Like, that's it, and that's just like the question to anyone who denounces this, like, are you listening? Are you attuned? Because people wouldn't still be talking about their struggles and their experiences if it wasn't still a problem.
Mate, right? Here's my thing. If you are walking around bold as brass in 2016 acting like there isn't a full-on war on women, I need you to wake the fuck up. If you are not paying attention to what's happening in these US elections with, you know, people like Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, talking about, you know, who are very anti-choice when it comes to abortion.
Women's, yes.
And shout out to, like, and that's what I would ask, you know, these women who apparently don't need feminism. I would really like to ask them, okay, cool, so how are you going to,
when they come for you, my
exactly. G. Like, if you need an abortion and they've outlawed it, where's feminism going to be for you then if you don't need it? Like, what happens then? And I'm shout out to Rachel Maddow as well, who did a really great piece this week or last week. It would have been this week when Donald Trump made that statement that if abortion was made illegal, obviously women who have them should be punished. There should be some form of punishment for those women who have abortions. But this, there's a big outrage about that. However, this is, and I'm not by any means sticking up for Trump here at all, but just, you know, as Rachel Maddow said, that is the dialogue in the GOP. They're all anti-choice. So what do you, play that scenario out then, and all of them think exactly the same way that Trump does. If you like, you have to find that piece online. I encourage everybody to like Google that Rachel Maddow and the way she just annihilates this whole GOP anti-choice thing. But basically, if you follow that thread, the basic premise is, you know, if they make abortion illegal, so any woman who has one is going to be treated as a criminal. That means any woman who's pregnant is going to be monitored somehow by the government. That means, you know, this is the one that gets me any time, every time. You know, women who've been raped, children who are victims of incest, you know, girls who are 13 who've been raped by a family member. And these men who are making these decisions about our wombs are ready to force a 13-year-old child to carry the child of her abuser and then raise that child. Listen, you are not pro-life if you give zero fucks about the woman who has to carry that child. And then, furthermore, give no fucks about the life of that child and woman once that child's born. Mm. Because you don't want to support them if they're economically disadvantaged. You don't want to support them in any other way, shape or form. But you are going to force... Don't give me the talk about pro-life. I can't deal with it. But back to the point about these women who apparently don't need feminism, hashtag that. Answer me that. How do we deal with that then as women? We just let people wage full-on war on our wombs and allow that to happen. Like, I need some answers. Send me a postcard. Whatever you got.
Yeah.
Sorry, just kind of went off on one. No, I blacked out for a second. No,
that's not even a mic drop. That's just like moment of silence for the clarity for all them teachers to come through. I'm with you. I totally... You need it to have a voice for your struggle and your experiences, right? It's not something we can just dash away and ignore. Right, yeah, you really set precedent with that bag.
Sorry,
like,
I just kind of went on one, but
no, it's just, you know, I always take these silences because I love like hearing and thinking over again. No, props for that. Props, massive props for that. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking also, like, we're talking about it being not so typical and the many different strands. And I think there's tangents of which it comes off, and we kind of like touched on it, of it not being so typical and not thinking and sounding like what you you look like and how there's a greater urge for it to be have agency over yourself as a woman and not let people lead the conversation for you. And in leading the conversation for you, like, there's this point, I'm very much reminded and drawn back to has anyone ever, like, I've got an audience with me, I don't know if you've heard of someone called Sojourner Truth. It was a great woman, an enslaved African-American way back, who basically stood up to the abolitionist council, a room full of white women, and just basically said, like, ain't I a woman, you know? And I think in referencing that, and like, go out there and read some bell hooks, people, if you want to do that, like, ain't I a woman too? I think we miss that a lot, you know, in the many different tangents of what feminism can be and who it applies to and what bit of it you're gonna pick up and take as your own, repurpose and package, take as your own. Just remember that, like, am I not a woman too? Shouldn't be butting heads. Like, it's for me as much as it is for you, and bringing massively, you know, those typically marginalized voices into the fold of what this conversation is.
Absolutely.
And not letting someone define what your fucking womanhood is for you, or what your rights are for you, or where they choose to fall in and out of the debate of what it should be for you. Like, this woman sitting there like, am I not a woman too? Damn.
Yes.
You know, you want to have all these conversations about me, you want to say like you're for me and not be for me, and that, you know, enslavement's a terrible thing, but you're not here flying the flag, because I still don't conform to your mode of womanness.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, having, like, read and seen, like, the whole divergent movement of what black feminism is and what womanism is, but it still grabs back to this one question for me, like, ain't I a woman too? And I think we need to lead with that more, you know? In leading with that, like I said, marginalized voices get brought to the table. It's not one discussion. It's not one discussion someone should just be leading. It shouldn't be silencing you. You've enacted and recognized your whole fucking agency in this debate and been like, rah, here I am, you know? If that ties into anything you just said, but I just think it's a beautiful loop of where you go from not understanding that it's not so typical anymore, and it's a big fucking conversation that we need to have, and certain men can't be chatting about what it means for you as a woman, and certain women can't be locking you out of a debate because you don't fit their stereotypical feminineness.
Absolutely.
I've made up a new word.
Yeah.
Feminineness, right?
All of the nesses,
and it's something that still, like, just frustrates me, because you can't turn your eye to them inequalities there. You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
Like, why is, to bring it back to Cardi B, you know, why is she being slut-shamed on national television for just saying, I need to get something out of this equation too?
No,
I know worth.
Exactly.
You know, why is this still happening, and why do people think we're the easiest people to throw underneath the bus?
Well, is it all right for, you know, Amber Rose to, you know, did her whole slut walk thing last year? Why is she not lauded up as a great feminist of our time, you know?
But man, Stacey and Emma Watson on the TV, like, don't even get me started of, like, who the faces of this thing are, you know? Like you said, Amber, like we said, Cardi B, like we said, fucking Roxanne Gay, like, you know.
And controversially, I'm going to throw this out there, Kim Kardashian. Which, okay, very debatable.
Slide. Watch me slide down my
throat. Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm no Kim K fan.
You know I don't like them. But it's very relevant.
It's very relevant to this conversation.
Go, because I know what example you're going to say, and go.
Her most recent naked selfie.
Oh, God. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So, obviously, that sparked a lot of debate, and Kim defended herself, and I think very eloquently, like, after she, you know, when she put forth her reasoning for doing it and she wants to show her daughter that, you know, she should accept her body and blah, blah, blah. And cool. And I'm on board with all of that. Cool. Great. My only beef with Kim is, okay, and in the remainder of your bag of tricks, we have, like, what else? You know what I mean?
My thing with that, yeah, like, and if you know me, I really don't give two shits about the Kardashians.
No,
like,
zero fucks given about anybody.
I'm bored. I'm actually bored to see what their role on the earth is. Not that I'm greater or I'm running for a UN position or something, but they just jar the fuck out of my life. But with that, and I saw that, and then I saw this chick, you know, whose name, she's not even relevant, I don't know her name, who was like, I wish you'd show, like, women that they can do more greater things than just show her body. Like, on one level, like, Kim, do you. Yeah. I'm not going to tear you down for having a bit of body positivity. My thing with her, namely, and a lot of other people who have now fallen into this spectrum of, I have a body, I'm proud, I'm going to show it, is, again, it's the typical fucking body you're seeing. Like, you're not seeing a bigger, more voluptuous, beautiful woman, you know, readily and more often as her. She's not getting, these people ain't getting shine over a Kim K. Kim K still fits into this aesthetic of womanhood, which I think has actually been ripped, torn up in half and thrown out with all the rest of the playbook of, like, what women are supposed to, like, look like, sound like, dress like, be like. But she's still there championing it. And I get it, it's your body. But I just think it leaves a lot of other people out of the conversation.
Of course it does. And it's just, and again, it kind of reduces women down to our bodies. Again, you know what I mean? It's like, cool, I'm on board with what you're trying to say. Body confidence is great. However, when Lena Dunham strips off, everybody's telling her to put her clothes back on again because she doesn't fit, as you said, the typical stereotype of what a woman's supposed to look like or how her body is supposed to be. Listen, Kim K, if that's your platform, body confidence and just nakedness, I guess, great, cool. But I'd like to know what else you are going to stand on. What else is in the party tricks? Cool, I get it. Like, you can get naked. That's great. And what else?
I tweeted something yesterday. I went to circuit class. I'm still sore from my circuit training class. But I was like, I have such a greater respect, not newfound, existing, stronger and bolstered, of women that do shit with their bodies that I could not fucking do, who don't look like they can do shit with their bodies. Like, just, I just constantly in awe of movement and agency and doing all types of dope shit with the body that you have, you know? And it continually breaks down these atypical, stereotypical notions we have. Like, shout out also, trying to get my yoga game up, it's failing massively, but I'm inspired by someone called Jessamyn Stanley. Awesome. Tell you another time, I've actually met her, she's dope. But inspired by women like that who are just like, this is the body I have. It moves. It still fucking functions.
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
it's here. It's honest. It's raw. You know, all of these things, which I think are a much larger part of, like, this feminist discourse that we're possibly talking about that need to be shown more. So that's why I have a little time for Kim K and all of them, because, you know, I don't know what the fuck she looks like at 3 o'clock in the morning on a bad hair day, like when she's just been pigging out her Cheetos and Oreos all day. Like, you know, because that's sometimes what I look like. Real talk. And it's this relatability, you know. We talked about the language having to be cut through and culled through and made more relatable to people. So do the images, you know. Like, I'm a great advocate of representation, you know. especially as a woman of color, representation in spaces that you don't typically see yourself. It applies here to this discussion on feminism that we're talking about. Can I see me? You know, am I seeing me and knowing that that's okay and that's acceptable? Am I seeing myself in an active position? You know, whatever the discussion is about, like, am I there? Am I present? You know, and am I accepted for being like that as well? Yeah, man could go on, you know.
This could definitely be a much longer one, but
it is. But it part two coming next week.
Yeah, yeah.
But say it's, you know, we. When Banks had sent me this, like, she was like, have you seen this, Lamar? I was like, no, man, don't really care about this TV show. She was like, no, listen to what this chick is saying, because it's very in line with what we talk about and how we communicate our empowerment, our badassness, you know, our worth, our womanness, you know, and...
It's not coming through a filter. It's just the way that she's expressing it, I think, is... you know, a sign of our times, really. And I do genuinely, absolutely. And I don't think it's hyperbolic to proclaim her to be a new feminist icon. I really do hope that she understands how important what she's saying is, and that she really uses her story to benefit people who are, without a doubt, there's going to be young women looking up to her. And her, you know, and the way that she handles herself, and that's absolutely okay, because girls living her life,
you know, that's okay. And I'd rather someone get the teaching through her than no one at all.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's wrap it up there, because I think we've rabbited on for quite some time.
You know us, y'all. We can talk the talk.
Do you have any words to live by this week?
I do.
Oh, shit. Someone prepared. Give them to me now.
Oh, the debacle that was last week. In the spirit of talking about feminism and how badass women are and how dope they are, shout out to my mum. Who's awesome.
She is. I can double down on that. Lamara's mom is awesome.
Thank you. But she, you know, sent me a little care package the other day. And in it, my mom's one for motivational quotes, massively. And she sent me a couple, and she sent me a postcard which had one. And I think it's very fitting for today. So my words of wisdom, my words to live by are, little girls with dreams become women with vision.
Yes, mama. Yes. Love that.
Little girls with dreams become women with vision. It's very self-explanatory. I don't need to deep dive into that. I have to, like, to just unpick it more. But, yeah, shout out for that wisdom, mum. Appreciate it. Miss you. Yourself, Bangs. Hit me with them lyrics there.
We're on
Skype and we're videoing. Yeah, I can see your face just turn up, which is like, let Lamara simmer on the poignancy, because I'm gonna come and fuck shit up. Go on, Bangs.
No, what you're actually seeing is, I'm just gonna let that point simmer to the end of the podcast, because I blatantly didn't find any words to live by this week. Blatantly did not
look
any up.
So who's calling you out on not having
it? I know, right? It's so bad. Okay, so let me say this. I don't have necessarily any words to live by, quote unquote, but I do have, you know how last week I was saying how I've been going to these meditation classes? Mm-hmm. So in last week's meditation class, at the end of it, we were kind of having a bit of a discussion, and this phrase was used, that we have to stop cradling whatever bullshit narrative is leading to this icky feeling that you have. Mm-hmm. And that was a bit of a light bulb moment for me, because if I'm truly honest with myself, I've been cradling a couple of really bullshit narratives in my life that I need to stop cradling. I just need to be like, yeah, no, that's not, it's not serving me to hang on to this particular way that I am telling this story to myself. And I think that just comes down to just, well, like you were saying at the beginning of the show, being honest with yourself, people who are able to kind of speak their truth and be honest about shit. And I think you have to be able to do that with yourself in the darkest recesses of your mind that are feeding you these kind of narratives to placate your bullshit. So, you know, those are my words this week.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I'm about it. So, guys, that's it for another show.
Yay.
Always a pleasure talking to you. Bangs, where can the people find you at?
So you can find me on all of the social media channels, from your Snapchat to your Instagram, your Twitter, your Book of Faith. All of those things. I am at Bangs and a Bun. Lamara, where can they find you?
They can find me at Twitter. My handle is at Lemel, Lemel _P. That's where I reside. We are so close to having our own social media channel.
One of these days, peeps, it's going to happen. One of these
days. We do exist on Twitter. It's at the No BS Guide to Life. We're there. There's not a lot going on over there, but there soon will be. But yeah, like, honestly, people, at me, find me that great quote that I bullshitted earlier that I need to really know and find. Send me articles, make me read stuff, ask us questions. I like to think we're friendly and approachable.
You can also email us. We do have an email address, which is nobsguidetolife@gmail.com. So please do email us and let us know if there's a topic that you want us to talk about. If just engage with us there. Send us an email. Let us know what you're feeling. In the meantime, please do subscribe to our lovely podcast on the old iTunes and rate us on there. And please write a review. That would be really helpful. We'd love to know what you're thinking.
That'd be nice.
Thank you. We will be back next week with a fresh ep talking about some more stuff.
Some more stuff.
Yeah.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yes,
take care.
Y'all.
Be good. Smile at strangers. I'm out.
Later.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.